My name is Mary. I'm a grateful recovering food addict. And I brought my pictures because there might be two people in the room who've never heard my story before. I've been around these rooms a long time, but it took me a long time to get here. When I came in early on, I stopped and I figured out I had been 25 years before I came into the halls of OA, and I had been gaining and losing 50 pounds, and I could never keep it all off. I could always lose it. It was never very hard for me to go on a diet. And then I would, you know, I had two numbers, a number that was so high that I said I have to do something, and the number that was nice and low, and I'd say, oh, it's over. And, you know, I thought it was some magic thing that the weight might stay off. And I realized after being in program, you know, for a number of years, that I would very, very gradually, I would say it might go 3 months where my weight stayed pretty steady. And then gradually I would pick up the substances I later found that I was allergic to, or I would binge on. And before I knew it, you know, it'd turn around and 6, 8, 10 months, the weight would be back on, and I'd have to start all over again. I started taking shots, but when I was 11 years old, my mother put me in a girdle, because I was a chubby little kid, and it was one of these things that was like a sheet, you know, a thing, and you buttoned it on the side, you hooked it on the side, it was all one piece, and there was these two metal bones, I hope these guys are getting a good description of this, it had two metal bones in the front, and if you bent over too hard any one day, the metal might break and stick into your stomach for the rest of the day. But my mother was aware that I was heavy and probably would not be as happy as the other children. I'm one of six. I have, there were five girls and one boy, and the boy is the oldest, and I'm the second girl. And she probably figured I, you know, would have a life less than if I was chubby all the way through. And that's what happened. I was chubby all the way through my young days. I had a sister who was 14 months older than I, and she was the pretty one, and I was the fat one. And, you know, I never forgot that. But I was also my mother's confidant, you know. I didn't run and play as much as the others did. And if she wanted to make the beds or do something special in the house, I would help her out, and I would hear all her troubles, too. So, you know, I became a real good girl, real good girl, because I didn't want to disappoint Mama, I understood what her life was like, but you know, I always thought my father was a mean, angry man, and now I know that he wasn't. He was a very gentle, loving man, but she used to say to us, if you kids don't behave, your father will take care of you when he gets home tonight. And, you know, that's what my dad always meant to us, but it took me a lot of years to realize that he was a sweet, kind man. But anyhow, as far as the food is concerned, I turned to food early on. I was a grazer. Even then, I was a grazer. And up until the time I came into program, I was a grazer. And even the first few months I was in program, I realized that I would never get out of the kitchen. By that time, I was married and had a house full of kids. But I would give the youngest one the bath and be all ready to be doing something else. And I could never get out of the kitchen. And finally, it dawned on me that I never wanted to get too far away from the food. So that was quite an awareness. And after that, I didn't have too much trouble. I saw that I didn't want to eat. I didn't stay there and eat, because I picked up the tool of abstinence after a while. I didn't want to stay there and eat, but I just wanted to stay there, and I didn't know why. But as soon as I figured out, I was able to change that. But my first diet. With pills, I saw a gal who worked in the department next to me, and all of a sudden she was thin. So naturally I asked her what she did, and she told me. So she had gone to a doctor, and he gave her pills. And I said, give me the doctor's name. And I went to that doctor, and I got the pills. And they were like magic. They were like magic. They just cut the appetite. I would eat a little something in the morning. And then where I worked, there was a big fruit stand across the street, and I'd go over and buy the biggest piece of fruit they had, and that would be my lunch. And then I would go home, and I would have a normal dinner. But I was just full of energy. I was the assistant manager in the department where I worked, and I had this 16-year-old stock boy. And that kid would go home so exhausted in the afternoon, and I would be ready to throw the stock around and move it up and finish the whole thing. And I didn't really realize that it was the pill that did that for me. But they were good. You know, they accelerated everything. They must have accelerated the heart rate, so the heart just beat the weight off, and then I didn't eat and kept active, and it was like a miracle had happened to me. And so before I knew it, the weight was off. And I did that many, many times. And one of the times that I did it, I went out one night. I never had a date. When I was in high school, I didn't go to my prom because I just figured I'd look like a white refrigerator or a pink refrigerator or a blue refrigerator. And I didn't want to do that. So I never went to a prom. I never had a date. The girls at work would be standing around talking, and someone's boyfriend would have a friend, and they never said, "Mary, would you like to go?" So, you know, my life was different, and that does affect you when you're a teenager and everybody has a date and everybody has a boyfriend. But I was fortunate because nobody made fun of me. But I learned early on that you could become a comedian, and if you had a smart, wise remark for everything that went on, you could get by. So, you know, instead of becoming sad, I became the comedian that, you know, would make fun of herself, and maybe if you deserved a little bit, I could make fun of you, too. So, but after one of those diets I went on, my boss and I went out, and we were having dinner and a few drinks, and we went to this. Oh, I know, one of the executives in the store died, so they gave us the Monday night off. So we went out, and sure enough, we were the only two women there, and there were just two guys in the place. Well, they asked us to dance, and the guy came over and asked me to dance, and we all drove home together, and that was the guy I married 3 years later, so it didn't take me long. Once I found the guy, I didn't let go of him. And so after that, you know, it started. He was not a big man, and he was very, very vocal about not liking fat people. In fact, he said, "If your wife is too fat and you want to get a divorce and you go before the judge, and you tell the judge you want to divorce her because she's too fat, the judge should say divorce granted." So that made me feel great. But I never paid too much attention to it. You know, I didn't think he was going anywhere. But and he didn't. He didn't. He died. That's what he did. So, but he was really, you know, very kind. He never made fun of me. And I knew he'd be looking me over when he'd say, "How's your weight coming?" So my marriage was, you know, attached to the scale. The low point, I'd go to a doctor. I took that same drug while I was pregnant with two of my kids. It was Dexedrine. And I think they call it Speed now. Maybe they don't have it anymore. They probably improved all those things. And so everybody, you know, was taking it. And I would take it, get the weight off, and then go back to my old routine. And then, you know, after a little while, I'd be, you know, I never threw clothes out. I had a closet full of all those various sizes. And my eating pattern was, you know, it was great when I was married. I was the boss, and, you know, I could do the shopping. And I loved shopping for food. I just didn't like taking the kids with me. I loved cooking it. I loved inviting people to dinner to eat it. And I loved all the compliments. I was, you know, a rival to Betty Crocker because I could bake up the storm. And that was the hard thing for me to give up when I came into the program. But anyhow, food was my life. Food was my life. It gave me status. People would love to come to my house. It gave me things to talk about. It gave me things to do, because when it snowed, what would I do? You know, God, the kids have to have something when they come in wet from the snow. So I would bake. And, you know, those were all that were kind of tough adjustments to make when I came into this program. And I remember each one of them as it occurred. But anyhow, eventually, I came to, after 25 years of up and down and up and down and up and down, somebody called. I went into TOPS. I did TOPS. I did Weight Watchers. I did Diet Workshop. I did all kinds of pills and all kinds of shots. And then finally, I went to TOPS, and I was in TOPS for 6 years. We wore the bigs, the bibs, and we sat in the pig pen. And then I would go out you know, I would starve, like Tuesday was weigh-in night, and I would starve Monday and Tuesday, and then go out to eat after the meeting. And, you know, that's just the way it was. And we were never really very, very successful, but this friend in Tops had heard about an Overeaters Anonymous meeting. So I thought, well, that's good, but we couldn't find one. So I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and I kind of identified with the compulsion, and but I didn't want to go back because I was not an alcoholic. And I saw a few people from my neighborhood at the meeting, and I said, well, I don't want them to think I'm alcoholic. It was okay for them to think that I was an overeater and beyond control. But so I never went back, but I won the big book at the raffle that night. And I can remember the next morning I picked it up and I went into the bathroom because it was the only quiet place in the house. And I'm reading the book and I'm saying, now what could I do? You know, how could I do it? And I thought, I know what I can do. I can eat 3 meals a day and not eat in between. So that's what I started to do on my own. And then we heard there was an OA meeting. And I went to an OA meeting. The first one was in Lincoln. And that was just kind of a dull meeting. We sat and just talked and not too many of us knew what we were talking about. And then a group had started in Holliston, a girl from, moved from California. And she started a group in Holliston. And that program grew there. And they used to come out 3, 4, 5 times a week to tell us their story. And the first meeting I went to, a woman stood in front of the room. And she talked about her life and about her trouble with food. And I didn't identify a lot with her life, but I identified with her feelings because she talked about her feelings. And I came to understand later in program that I had never allowed myself to feel my feelings. I always stomped them down, and food was always available, so I ate food. As I say, I grazed. I learned how to cook when I was very young because my mother would have ironing or sewing to do, and I would start the dinner many nights, and I learned how to cook, so I came by all this naturally. And I didn't have any favorite food. The only thing I didn't like was liver and stuffed peppers. And now I like liver. I can eat liver now, but I still can't eat stuffed peppers. And, you know, I just ate everything. But when I came into program, and I knew that when I heard that woman speak that there was something in these rooms for me. And I thought, well, I think I'll get the diet, find out what it is. And then I'll go on my merry way, because I knew everything about weight loss and control. So I kept going to meetings, and it became more. They said, if you want what we have, go to 6 meetings before you decide whether or not you can do it or you want what we have. So I gave it 6 good meetings, and I kept going and going. I heard about sponsorship and all the tools, but I got some of my top friends to come to program with me. And finally, I said, you know, pretty soon my husband's going to say, you know, you're out an awful lot, because I'd go to 2 or 3 meetings a week. And I don't see any weight coming off. So that was when I decided around Thanksgiving, I'll be in this program 32 years next month. And I had to call one of the gals that was first in the program with me today to find out how long I had been coming, because it was vague. I never thought I'd be here this long. She said, don't you remember when you came in? I said, yeah, I remember, but I never wrote the date down because I never thought I'd be here this long. But I came to understand that there was something here that I needed. So I came to the meetings, and eventually around Thanksgiving that year, I picked up a sponsor and started to work the program. And that was my beginning of coming to believe, because she had a God in her life and she would share things with me, and I had to share, you know, a lot of my idiosyncrasies, and I hated to admit to anyone that I had them. And so that was really the beginning of my living and changing. Some younger people came into program, and they would stand up and share, and I would hear them complain about their parents, and I thought to myself, where could I ever go that I could hear children complain about their parents and parents complain about their children? I said, I think this place is great, because I learn from them and they learn from the older people in the room. And that was the big problem I had was with my kids. I was a screamer. And that was the first thing in program that I let go of. I thought I knew everything. If you listened to me, you'd have a good life. And there was really nothing wrong with me. I just had a weight problem. But after sitting in these rooms and having people share and beginning to listen, and you know, have to turn my food and my will over to God about my food, that was the beginning of the change in my life. And the reading today in the 24-hour day was so good, because it more or less said, God won't give you the strength to do everything you want, but he will give you the energy to do everything you need. 5 minutes, oh wow, and I'm so young. How can I tell you all the rest of it? But anyhow, I came to the rooms and I listened, and I heard, when you're pointing one finger that way, there's three pointing back at yourself. And I kind of took that to heart, and I really changed. I became a lot calmer. I took quiet time. I used all the tools. Reading is still a very, very valuable tool for me. From working with that sponsor, I have to tell you about my nervous breakthrough, because I got my weight off very quickly. It was like that. And we would see each other maybe every 2 weeks, and she'd say, boy, what happened? You're disappearing. And I was, at that time we had gray sheet, and I would like to say to anybody, if you want to lose weight, pick up that weighed and measured no carbohydrate, although now we do have a grain, that no carbohydrate food plan, and do it on a daily basis and work with a sponsor and use your tools, and you will disappear. But I was in the body I loved, but I was still agitated about some things and nervous, and I became depressed. And I learned that after I signed myself into a local mental health unit, that I was looking for somebody else to make me better. And what I needed was more quiet time with my higher power, more faith and trust and surrender. And at that time, by the time I had, you know, gone through the depression and come out of it, they had started AWOLs, and which everyone will tell you is a way of life, and probably everybody in the room knows about them or has participated in one. But that was the turning point in my life, my program, and I think it was the turning point in the program in this area, because they started having AWOLs, and, you know, there are rules in AWOL. There are no rules in, there are no musts in program, but there are a few you damn well betters. But in AWOLs, they have a few you damn well betters, and, you know, you do three weighed and measured meals with nothing in between, no sugar, no flour, and that's what really works, and that's what worked for me. And there's been a big change in my life. I'm grateful for it. My husband died while I was in this program, and I knew that I couldn't pick up a bite, because if I did that, I would just be hopeless. Number one, the clothes wouldn't fit me anymore, and I'd be miserable about that. So I went back to that same sponsor, because I had stopped going to a sponsor on a regular basis, and she was, you know, working with a lot of other people. And I went back to her on a daily basis, and I needed to hear about her higher power, because I felt that God had left me. I know now that I had left God. And it'll be 19 years that since my husband died, and I have survived. I have survived. It's the miracle of my life, because I didn't know how to do anything. I had no information about our financial condition or anything. And I just put my food on the scale every single day. I talked to my sponsor. I did my reading. I got on my knees morning and night. I made my telephone calls. That telephone was such a wonderful tool when you have a real problem. And I still use it today. You know, I still have the same five kids I had when I came in, but now they have children, and they have deeper problems that they don't like to talk with me about all the time. So when I don't hear from them, I worry, and when I do hear from them, I worry. So I just know that God has to take care of them. I can't rule their lives, and I have to ask him to show me the way on a daily basis. Sometimes I get on my high horse and start running, because you're never through changing. And I find that I'm racing and running, and then I say, oh, I know what, you know. I have to sit down, do some more reading, maybe take a little, not any longer quiet time, but more frequent quiet time. And that's kind of what the reading has been about in the little black book these days, you know. Just make sure you take your quiet time, and I'm having to do a lot of that lately. But I'm just so glad I came through the doors, and when I got my weight off, I knew I had to stay. I knew that there was a whole lot more for me to learn. And I'm sitting here tonight, and I'm sharing with you, but, you know, I'm still learning. It's great to be able to stand up and say that I'm grateful, and I really am grateful. I don't know where else, you know, I could have got what I get in these rooms, and it's free, you know. You don't even have to put anything in the collection box if you don't want them, but it's one of those you damn well better. And, you know, I'm glad to be making this tape. I've never made one. I've never wanted to, so short notice is good. And let me say, I don't know how many more years I'll be here, but as long as I can drive, I'll be here, and maybe one of you will give me a ride when I can't drive.